bit about the deep pause trouble, said William, head downwards.
I'm shorter than you, so I lose out either way up, said the dwarf.
After watching the cart disappear, the king yelled downstairs for one of his clerks and told him to fetch a copy of the Times from bin 6. He sat impassively, except for the oscillating cigar, while the stained and crumpled paper was read to him. After a while his smile broadened, and he asked the clerk to read a few extracts again.
"Ah," he said, when the man had finished, "I reckon that was it. The boy's a born muckraker. Shame for him, he was born a long way from honest muck."
"Shall I do a credit note for the engravers, Mr. King?"
"Aye."
"You reckon you'll get your money back, Mr. King?"
Harry King usually didn't take this sort of thing from clerks. They were there to do the adding up, not discuss policy. On the other hand, Harry had made a fortune seeing the sparkle in the mire, and sometimes you had to recognise expertise when you saw it.
"What colours, odd and nil?" he said.
"Oh, one of those difficult colours, Mr. King, a sort of light blue with a hint of green."
"Could you get ink that colour?"
"I could find out. It'd be expensive."
The cigar made its traverse from one side of Harry King to the other. He was known to dote on his daughters, who he felt had suffered rather from having a father who needed to take two baths just to get dirty.
"We shall just have to keep an eye on our little writing man," he said. "Tip off the lads, will you? I wouldn't like to see our Effie disappointed."
The dwarfs were working on the press again, Saccharissa noted. It seldom stayed the same shape for more than a couple of hours. The dwarfs designed it as they went along. It looked to Saccharissa that the only tools a dwarf needed were his axe and some means of making fire. That'd eventually get him a forge, and with that he could make simple tools, and with those he could make complex tools, and with complex tools a dwarf could make more or less anything. A couple of them were rummaging around in the industrial junk that had been piled against the walls. A couple of metal mangles had been melted down for their iron already, and the rocking horses were being used to melt lead. One or two of the dwarfs had left the shed on mysterious errands too, and had returned carrying small sacks and furtive expressions. A dwarf is also very good at making use of things other people have thrown away, even if they haven't actually thrown them away yet. She was turning her attention to a report of the Knapp Hill Jolly Pals annual meeting, when a crash and some cursing in Ubervaltian, a good cursing language, made her run over to the cellar entrance.
"Are you all right, Mr. Creek? Do you want me to go and get the dustpan and brush?"
"Podro vaxi jaltsir!"
"Oh, sorry, Miss Saccharissa. There has been a minor pothole on the road to progress."
Saccharissa made her way down the ladder. Otto was at his makeshift bench. Boxes of demons hung on the wall. Some salamanders dozed in their cages. In a big dark jar, land eels slithered. But a jar next to it was broken.
"I was clumsy and knocked it over," said Otto, looking embarrassed. "And now the stupid eel has gone behind the bench."
"Does it bite?"
"Oh, no, they are very lazy wretches."
"What is this you've been working on, Otto?" Saccharissa said, turning to look closer at something big on the bench. He tried to dart in front of her.
"Oh, it is all very experimental."
"The way of making coloured plates?"
"Yes, but this is just a crude lash-up."
Saccharissa caught sight of a movement out of the corner of her eye. The escaped land eel, having got bored behind the bench, was making a very sluggish bid for new horizons where an eel could wriggle proud and horizontal.
"Please don't," Otto began.
"Oh, it's all right. I'm not at all squeamish."
Saccharissa's hand closed on the eel. She came to, with Otto's black handkerchief being flapped desperately in her face.
"Oh, my goodness," she said, trying to sit up.
Otto's face was a picture of such terror that Saccharissa forgot her own splitting headache for a moment.
"What's happened to you?" she said. "You look terrible."
Otto jerked back, tried to stand up and half collapsed against the bench, clutching at his chest.
"Cheese," he moaned. "Please get me some cheese or a big apple. Something to bite, please."
"There's nothing like that down here.
Keep away from me and do not breathe like that," Otto wailed.
"Like what?"
"The bosom's going in and out and up and down like that. I am a vampire. A fainting young lady, please understand, the panting, the heaving of the bosoms. It calls something terrible from within."
With a lurch, he pushed himself upright and gripped the black twist of ribbon from his lapel.
"But I will be strong," he screamed. "I will not let everyone down."
He stood stiffly to attention, although slightly blurred because of the vibration shaking him from head to foot, and in a trembling voice sang,
"Or will you come to the..."